say anything? Or is, hey, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Dawson Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And good morning. How are you doing?
Got to keep you guys on your toes. It's Friday. Hope you guys are having a fun, fantastic, fabulous Friday today. We've got a lot of articles and stories for you all, so buckle up and get ready. The first thing to give everybody a really accurate first world heads up on. Last night, Lana flew in from Charlotte to Orlando. She was out of town for a bit. I had to pick her up at Orlando Airport, which I loathe doing, but I had to do it because I was the only flight that was coming in. And she said she talked to one of the flight attendants, and she pretty much told her last night, do not plan on being on time anywhere if you're flying in the next 2 to 3 weeks. All the major hubs, Dallas, New York, Orlando, Tampa, Miami, it's all the major hubs.
Charlotte, all of them.
Charlotte, LAX, pretty much. If you're flying in or out of any of those, expect significant delays, if not cancellations right now.
But the 10% cancellations.
Yeah, and so that's cancellations. That's not talking about the different delays that you're going to have in place that start to occur because of these cancellations.
I guarantee you the prices are going to go through the roof.
The prices are going to go astronomical for the next couple of weeks going into Thanksgiving. They're going to be, in my opinion, I'd drive if I was going somewhere. I wouldn't go.
Well, Chucky Schumer and Trump and these guys are all trying to get together now. It's the longest shutdown we've ever had. And, the sad part about it is, with the rest of these big companies, if you cut out 70% of the government, you would actually be okay. And now Elon Musk is trying to show us
that
the vast majority of them don't do anything.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. If they want to cut all this stuff out, why aren't they cutting all the fat out? Well, why is FAA not being prioritized?
Israel is.
Unfortunately, I can't argue with that one.
No, Israel's getting their funding.
Yeah.
What is it, $100 million a day? That easily covered the FAA, the five guys.
$35 billion a year now is currently what they're getting.
And it's unbelievable how much money we give them. And it's just because that way they can go ahead and kill more Palestinians and rape them and horrible things that they do over there. But we got to make sure they get their money because both houses of Congress are controlled by Israel.
That's exactly right.
Trafficking talked about that, and they put him in prison for that one for 7 years.
Well, and everybody I've talked to in every industry right now is sitting there. I've talked to people yesterday in Orlando, stopped by a restaurant, rolling with sushi place over there in Orlando, met a bunch of friends, and everybody's on the same page. They're going, this isn't about illegal immigration, housing, and the standstill. There's a big, there's something big going on behind the scenes with the Fed, with the banks, with the government that they're trying to obfuscate from, and they're using this as a scapegoat to blame the financial issues that are starting to occur now and say, well, we don't know what happened. We couldn't come to an agreement on the shutdown. It's more than that as far as with these banks and the liquidity crisis that I think they're in again, and that's one of the reasons why.
Well, it's the derivative exposure.
Exactly
they never
right.
stopped that never after 2008.
No, and so what's happened now is they're having more and more issues, and the problem is nobody's discussing the fact that the only ones, the main ones who are benefiting from this shutdown are the banks. Citicard, Capital One, Wells Fargo, they're all showing record profits this month in interest from credit cards because everybody's putting stuff on their credit card.
And everybody's basically not paying the bills off in full.
Yeah, especially people that work for the government. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody else in other industries, everybody's keeping everything together. I know a lot of people have been calling me up, ordering more food buckets out of the blue, nowhere. We keep a bunch in stock. We sell a few here and there. But it's like I've had people call me up. Like, I'm ordering like two or three or four more buckets. I'm like, okay. More fit food. This one thing we learned about the fit food is you can use this as a meal replacement. So you got some backup stuff on hand. Because quite frankly, if you start having more and more people that don't get their EBT payments, I'm not trying to go hang out at Walmart at 8 o'clock at night and go hang, go buy food with people.
You gotta load Walmart.
Well, no, it is. You start getting more and more arrest. I talked to Harrison last night. And he says the amount of arrests that they're starting to prosecute at Walmart is going through the roof with people at self-checkouts. Self-checkouts, they have so much security now at self-checkouts. They have somebody by the door watching all the cameras 24/7. And as soon as they get past anybody, they immediately stop them. And they said they are prosecuting 100% of shoplifting, even if it is an accident. So be aware of this. If you're doing self-checkout at Walmart, make sure everything gets scanned.
Even if it's an accident.
They consider it petty theft.
Why don't we just go through the register then and be done with it?
You don't have to register. It don't exist anymore, bro. I've gone to Walmart, all the self-checkouts are open. There's two registers out of the whole 20 line of them. That's why I don't go there anymore.
Well, let's talk about something besides petty theft. Let's talk about real theft.
Real theft? Are you talking about Congress again?
Church leaders.
Oh, gosh. You're going in the 501c3.
I'm going to go there for a second, yeah.
Oh, boy. Here we go. It's Friday.
Church leaders have been arrested in a multi-state money laundering forced labor investigation. Wow. The U.S. Department of Justice says federal agents arrested David Taylor and Michelle Brannon in separate raids on Wednesday. Investigators said the pair led the Kingdom of God Global Church and forced workers to be personal servants while using millions of dollars in donations to fund a fad lavish lifestyle. Taylor and Brannon face charges of forced labor, conspiracy to commit forced labor, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. This is in Tampa, Austin.
Yeah, I know.
Two church leaders have been arrested in alleged multiple in the Hillsborough County's Villa neighborhood. And, you know, one of them was 53 and the other one was 56. According to DOJ, they're leaders of this Kingdom of God Global Church. The 10-count indictment alleges that Taylor and Brannon ran call centers in Florida. This is to collect money, by the way. Texas, Missouri, and Michigan solicit donations to the church. The pair convinced their victims to work at call centers and work for long hours for free, a lot of them. And they refer to them as armor bearers for long hours without pay. Armor bearers. Remember the same thing? That's what Bishop Eddie Long used to call them, armor bearers. Federal, he's dead now too, by the way. Federal investigators say he never did any of this kind of stuff, though. Did other stuff he should have done. Federal investigators say that Taylor and Brennan controlled every aspect of the daily living of their victims who slept at the call center or in a ministry house and were not allowed to leave without permission. They were slave labor. The indictment also says the suspects forced the victims to transport women to Taylor and ensure those women took Plan B emergency contraceptives.
Wow. This is not a good look for them, dude.
The church received about $50 million of donations through the call centers dating back to 2014.
$50 million.
Taylor and Brennan are accused of using much of that money to buy luxury prop labor. The indictment also says the suspects forced the victims to transport women to Taylor and ensure those women took Plan B emergency contraceptives.
Wow. This is not a good look for them, dude.
The church received about $50 million of donations through the call centers dating back to 2014.
$50 million.
Taylor and Brennan are accused of using much of that money to buy luxury properties. They have all the money coming in tax-free. So let's say if you and I make $100,000 a year, if we really work hard, we make $100,000 a year, at least 50% of that goes out in taxes.
Medicaid, Social Security, income tax.
So you're going to bring home about $1,000 a week. All right, and you get out of that, you got to pay everything, your insurance, all of this stuff. These guys don't do any of that. The church probably owns that mansion. The church owns it as a parsonage, and so there's no property taxes due on it. Okay,
they're even better.
If they're making payments, it's coming out of ministry funds. And I knew one group out of California. They had 20 mansions like this all over the country. They're both dead now. Good riddance, as far as I'm concerned. I got a video, a picture of him. I put up one time, him flipping off the whole crowd giving everybody the finger because they weren't giving enough money. I can't make this stuff up. If a church does not have open books, are you listening to me? If you don't know what the pastor's making or where the money's going, either you leave the church or you designate the funds that you're giving as to where you want them to go. I'm just letting you know, I'm being really, really blunt with you guys today. I have seen so much corruption behind the scenes in churches, it'll blow your mind. I just don't talk about it because I don't want to be part of that anymore. Because I used to do a lot of fundraising for nonprofits, but I've seen some crazy stuff. I'm not going to go into it. You don't want to hear it.
And in my opinion as well, especially any of those churches you're going to, find out how much money that they're sending over to Israel too. Just being honest with you on that. I mean, I walked away from church I'd been to for years. I've been supporting heavily locally because they did a lot of local stuff, a lot of missionary work that I was very proud of.
Assemblies of God Church, I know.
I was very proud of them. And they completely and totally insulted the entire veteran population at their church, and including
on the 4th of July.
On the 4th of July. At a gigantic 4th of July event, flags everywhere.
Israeli flags everywhere.
No, American flags. There was no Israeli flags.
Oh, I thought
Israeli. No. It was all American flags everywhere. It was all 4th of July, and that's what got me shook. And then they had great music, everything, and then suddenly the pastor gets up there, and within 5 minutes, he does an entire 30-minute expose on why Israel's the only reason the United States is prosperous, and if we don't continue to give essentially all of our extra money to Israel, the United States is no longer going to be the major world capital leader of the entire world, and essentially, if we don't support them, we're going to be cursed. And it was probably one of the most ridiculous 5 to 10 minutes I listened to, and I got up and left. Multiple other veterans were out in the hallway when I walked out there, and they were just, I mean, completely and totally just angry. I didn't. This is not what I served my country for, to listen to this and have this shoved in my face. And so, and a whole lot of other stuff.
Well, you know, Candace Owens says there were 12 Israeli telephones at Charlie Kirk's rally.
I saw that.
And if Charlie Kirk said he's Israeli security primarily exclusively.
Mossad. I'm sure they probably gave him Mossad private security detail for free. They probably comped it for him.
Yeah, because he was
now suddenly these videos we've seen with all the security around him. I mean, the one guy, the video, you can watch it right after Charlie gets shot. Within seconds, the guy jumps on a cell phone and walks behind the platform. There. Why are you on your cell phone? You already got EMTs that are coming there.
He's probably calling Benjamin Netanyahu.
Then the same guy walks right back around, starts pulling the SIM cards out of all the cameras immediately, that fast. Priority was not Charlie Kirk at all. Wasn't rendering aid, wasn't compressions, wasn't stop bleeding, nothing. So that whole thing, and the more videos I've seen of Charlie over the last 8 weeks before his assassination, he was really, really hammering Mossad and the IDF and what they were involved in and everything else.
Well, you know, we got a lot of heat years ago when Jeffrey Epstein died and the book came out, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Oh, yeah.
And I covered the book on the show, and we went into detail on how Jeffrey Epstein was Mossad and he worked for Israel. Now, think about that. Let that one sink in really deep. Just chew on that one for a minute. The country that we give all this aid to, the country that runs around randomly, just attacks people and kills people and rapes women and children, the country that we give hundreds of billions of dollars to in aggregate over the decades, the country that's supposed to be our greatest ally, okay, hired Jeffrey Epstein to blackmail our congressional leaders and legislatures and judges.
And probably politicians. Presidents.
Yeah. Now, do you think that choke on that? The same country that put 5,000 rounds of ammunition into the USS Liberty and tried to start World War III back in 67 is the same country that controls both houses of Congress in the United States. That's a problem, Austin.
It's a serious problem.
It really is. It is.
I got a health arc I want to cover. This is a big deal that nobody's really talked about. Now, this is one of the reasons why I tell everybody to make sure you're getting organic beef, grass-fed beef, open free-range beef as much as possible, because they're showing now a lot of the regular processed beef that they just feed. They don't really let them range. They're now, look at this. They're saying now that big ag sees win-win as farmers feed leftover candy to livestock down approval. They're saying all the excess hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds of candy that candy companies end up with surplus, they are now donating to farmers, and farmers are feeding the candy to the animals. The agriculture and candy industries, from the practice they call it now sustainable as a way to curb the waste and otherwise go to landfills. Cargill, for example, deems it upcycling and a win-win for farm animals and environment. While the feeding food waste to animals prefer to toss in it and rot landfills, both meat and candy companies benefit financially from this product.
Fattens them up, boy. High fructose.
Fattens them up super quick. It talks about here how the rising corn prices during time of drought is a way producers to reduce feed costs. And here's the crazy part about this. It says waste chocolate adds up to about 30% of finishing pigs' diet to support growth performance without affecting carcass composition. Waste chocolate, 30%, primarily with high fructose corn syrups. Remember, majority of the candy chocolate that's on the market, that's not your high-end like Ghirardelli chocolate or your Dutch chocolate that comes in. This is the cheap, cheap, cheap chocolate that Nestle and Hershey's makes that's basically all sugar and high fructose corn syrup. They're saying that 30% of the finishing pig diets, and now they're doing that with cattle as well. And they're finishing this massive amount of candy to them at the last 6 months to fatten them up. Remember, you're eating that meat as that cow has been eating all that high fructose corn syrup, all that polyasorbate 80, all that BHT, all those preservatives in that chocolate. That cow's eating those, and now you're drinking its milk and eating the meat afterwards. So, again, my stance on it, try to get grass-fed beef as much as possible, 100%. We usually, me and our friends usually split half a cow once a year, and it's the taste is so much better to get organic grass-fed.
Oh, by the way, the other day, we didn't really cover this in detail, but in Louisville, Kentucky, a doggone UPS plane crashed.
I did cover that the other day.
Okay.
You had to fix your pants. You had to change clothes. Wrong lid on it.
But they found out now the engine fell off before it exploded.
Whoa. I was wondering what happened to it.
Engine fell off.
Fell off. Mm-hmm. And you it's weird because it comes in sideways. Well, it's that building.
The weight track.
Yeah.
See, with planes, you have to have weight and balance. You have
those
to
have, turbines are heavy.
They're heavy, big engines. And so what ends up happening is when the plane just sheared the pins or whatever held the engine on.
Jeez.
And the crazy part about it is every so often you got to go and have what's called an eddy current test on certain parts of an airplane to make sure there aren't structural cracks. And you always say, well, the FFA is, you know, they're being too strict. And, you know, as a plane owner, because I used to own a plane, I used to get frustrated because there was nothing wrong with the part, but I had to have it inspected. One time I had a wing spar on my 210, and they said you have to have an eddy current test on it because we had the wings fall off another 210 because the spar was bad. The spar is what holds the wings on.
I used to think that they were just too strict sometimes.
They're not.
But the longer I've been around it, the more I flew with you, the more I start realizing the problem is – you don't get a second chance in a plane.
You can't pull over.
If you blow a tire on a car on the side of the road, okay, pull the tire over, pull the car over, swap the tire.
Or you run out of gas.
You run out of gas. Your engine falls off. You blow an engine on a plane. It's not just, we just pull over to the side of the road real quick safely.
Well, that's why the plane, in my opinion, like, I don't know for sure now, it was flying and the engine falls off and it just rolls over.
Yeah, that was the weird part of the video.
Because what happens, you have to have weight and balance on those aircraft, especially when you're carrying a lot of load. And if you take an engine that weighs multiple tons and it pulls off engine.
That's on that photo right there. You can see it when he came in sideways.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But you see the engine. You can't see the engine going.
Well, that's wing. That one's right there. But yeah, that was a bad accident. My condolences to family and everybody involved in that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can see.
If you look at that one in picture again here, the engine's on the plane on the wing that's up in the air. If you go back to that first shot you looked at.
First shot.
Yeah.
Where was that? Yeah.
Wherever it
there.
Was. If this is the current update.
Right here.
But the engine's up in the air, which means he probably tried to compensate when the other engine came off and he over-rotated.
You know what I am going to say, though? And I'm not trying to be funny about this. You notice how there's a giant fuselage here? There's giant parts of the plane everywhere?
Yeah. No, you didn't see that at the Pentagon, did you guys?
What did you see at the Pentagon? A giant hole.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
No, I knew you were going there.
I'm just going there.
General Stubblebine is an investigator for the military. And he said that he did not know what went into the Pentagon, but he said it wasn't an airplane because there were no wing marks on the sides of the building.
No. There was zero wing. There were no turbines.
But notice that's been 25 years ago and nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? Because I was talking to Rich a few minutes ago when we were talking about different things that were going on in the government with the airlines and everything else. And he says there's nothing we can do about it. That's right. There's not. There's nothing you can do about what happened with 9/11. That was, a quarter of a century ago.
One thing you can do is you can just avoid flying right now. Find other means of transportation. That's what the flight attendant said last night. I recommend nobody fly.
But, you know, so many times now, you know, when I used to fly the 210, I'd get what's called flight assistance. You know, we would basically call the run. We'd call up the people in air traffic control and would say, we need, you know, flight following.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times they said, we're sorry. We can't do it. We're too busy.
Yeah.
And you're like, because we weren't flying, we weren't flying IFR. Yeah. We were flying VFR. Instrument flight versus visual flight. We were flying, but we wanted them to watch us, make sure they could keep us away from other aircraft and air traffic. And sometimes they would tell us we don't have the staff to do it.
Can't do it.
And that's
when everything was working perfect.
Yeah. And these guys aren't getting paid, but Israel does get paid, so we're good.
Apparently, Congress still gets their checks too, though. They haven't gotten they make $180,000, $190,000 a year. They're all getting paid as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, their checks haven't been furloughed.
Well, and the thing about it, if the country's so broke, why in the world are we still doing this? Oh, by the way, Wicked star Christine Chenoweth said that she has gotten massive, massive blowback because of the tribute that she did to Charlie Kirk, and it almost broke her. TV, film, and Broadway star Kristen Chenoweth said fierce fan backlash over her tribute to the Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk nearly broke her. It was tough on me, but I'm not going to answer any questions about it because I dealt with it. It nearly broke me, and that's all I'm going to say. You probably know my heart. So you probably know Chenoweth told a Hollywood Reporter on Monday. The Wicked star was responding to a question from the magazine about the backlash she received from fans who bizarrely accused her of betraying the LGBT community for expressing her sorrow over the free speech martyrs' assassination. Wait a minute. So the queers, go ahead and send me letters on that if you'd like. The queers got mad because she basically gave condolences to a man who was assassinated. So all the gays got all mad out of, got all bent out of shape because he didn't like homosexuality and transgender stuff. And he said that, you know, we weren't following God's word. And because that was his right on his First Amendment. And she gives us basically a condolence to the family and to his followers. She now was a bad person with the gays. You know, let me say something to you gays. Just, we do the best we possibly can, all of us. Just ignore what you do and the lifestyle patterns that you choose. We don't care what you do. It's your choice. But, you know, it's our choice if we want to feel bad that somebody gets assassinated.
Or if it's our choice to give our opinion on something.
Yeah, just
leave. I've gotten so sick of this culture.
Just leave. Give me this camera, Rich. I have no lights.
Nope.
The cameras are off. But at this point in time, we've got to look to see what's going on and try to understand it. Give me another camera, Richard. That light's not working on that camera. That one's working now. That camera's out. We need to check it, make sure it doesn't have a dead battery and it's turned on. But all of this stuff is just a giant, you know, it's just awful that they could say whatever they want to say to us, and then when we just say condolences to somebody, they get bent out of shape.
It's more theater. It's more theater to keep everything constantly divided and stuff.
What it is, I was watching this thing yesterday, and it was interesting, and it was talking about the Jewish influence in our culture today and how they're the ones responsible for the LGBTQ and that everybody should be thankful to the Jews for what they've done. And I'm like,
thankful to them for what?
Because they brought us. They were talking about the New Deal with FDR. They brought us this. They brought us that. They brought us feminism. They brought us all the stuff. And they're saying how there should be. We should also be so grateful to what they've done.
They're our greatest ally. Oh, God. But yet they've never done a single thing for the United States. Also, too, guys, FDA unveils 9 drugs to receive expedited review under National Priority Voucher Program. This is something to be aware of, and this is another reason why. In a lot of cases, you start seeing a lot of these drugs get brought on the market, and they don't stay on the market very long because of side effects on them. They have so many issues that start to occur, they get brought right off. And this happens now with this review process. They're expediting these things. This goes into the detail of, where it is right here, the FDA. FDA awards more vouchers for quick drug review on here. It says that essentially these vouchers are granted to select groups of products where the companies agreed to increase affordability, national security, or address an unmet public health need. So this ties back into the approval that they tried to do with the essentially COVID-19 vaccine, where they went in and said, oh, this is emergency use authorization because we have to roll this out right now. So we're just going to start approving these things and awarding these things and letting them go to market. Well, because we deem it that they need to be brought to the market and they're increased affordability. There's something they need to have on the market for. So, you know, some point in time, you ask yourself the question. Yesterday, I was in I had the radio on. I was going through some stuff, trying to listen to some radios. I couldn't get anything hooked up on my phone. And it was interesting because it was like every time there was a commercial on these radio stations, it was constantly about, oh, affordable health care. You need to be able to get health care, affordable health care. And I thought to myself, you know, I get it. Some people feel like they have to have constant health insurance. That's your choice. That's what you do. I cut health insurance out 10 years ago. I learned a long time ago that companies like Advent Health and so forth, if you ever have to go to the hospital for a specific reason, you can negotiate it down with them very easily. And a lot of times they'll take the bill 80, 90% down. So if you go to the hospital and it's a $3,000 or $4,000 bill, a lot of times you can get the bill knocked down to $400 or $500. You negotiate with them, sometimes less. And so the health insurance that I found is complete and total ripoff, my opinion. I'm not telling everybody to drop their health insurance. But what I've noticed is people that have health insurance are much more prone to constantly go to the doctor for every single little issue that they ever have. You know, I know somebody that's got basically state health insurance. They work for the state, and they have health insurance, and their copay on stuff's like $4, $6. And they're constantly going to the doctor all the time, getting antibiotics, getting stuff for this, going to the doctor for this, going to the doctor for this. It's what happens is you start this revolving door of just continual drug use, whether it's antibiotics, whether it's other prescriptions, because it's so easy, so cheap, and so affordable, and so available. A lot of times you don't even try it natural approach. You understand what I'm saying, guys? Listen to me on this. When you have something there that's so easy and becomes such a norm to you, you don't even think about the fact that there may be other options that are healthier and better for your body than sitting there going to get a drug or prescription antibiotic every single time you get a nose sniffle. This is very common now, and this is why they want everybody to have this affordable health insurance. The entire health insurance industry is a complete scam, period.
No, it is. No, yesterday I was talking to a friend of mine, and she basically is broke. I mean, bankrupt broke. And, I mean, she's going from job to job and trying to figure out how to make money to pay her bills and buy food. And she goes, but I've got to pay my health insurance every month.
Yeah.
And I looked at her, and I said, do you really need health insurance?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a child that basically has some issues, and I got to make sure I have health insurance. And I said to her, I said, well, you're paying, you know, $500 a month in health insurance.
That's cheap. That's cheap health insurance.
And she said, I've got to pay my life insurance. And I said, the concept here is eluding you.
Yeah.
I said, that's another $200 a month. That's $700 a month in health insurance and life insurance. And I said, if you get really sick and you had to go to the emergency room, that'd be one thing. They're going to have to take you in. I said, and you don't need life insurance because why you have life insurance for people that you don't care about anymore anyhow?
Yeah.
And I said, so why in the world are you doing this? And I told her, I said, the concept has completely and totally eluded you, and the fact that you think that you have to have life insurance and health insurance, and you really don't.
Well, here's the numbers. You know, my health insurance, when I had it, it was up to $1,200 for three of us. That's back when I had just Hunter. So $1,200 a month, that was the premium went up to, raised up on me. Then it basically had a $6,000 deductible. So essentially, you basically had it for the year. It was like $14,000, $15,000 you ended up paying, and then $6,000. So if you need it for a year, you got about $20,000 wrapped up for insurance kicked in, right? There's the numbers. Well, then when I broke my wrist, I didn't have health insurance. I had already killed it years back. I broke my wrist, went to Advent Health. They put me in a cast, whole nine yards, ended up being like a $4,000, $5,000 bill for x-rays in between. I told myself I don't have health insurance. It's cash pay. Okay, we can do it for you for like $2,000. I said, we'll negotiate when I get back home. So they let me know. They called me up, let me know. We went back and forth for about 2 or 3 months. They finally said, okay, we'll settle on this for like $800 for this and like $400 for that. And I thought to myself, how funny. It ended up being like $1,200 for everything. And that was 1 month. 1 month of premium, by the way. 1 month of premium that I would have paid back when I had health insurance. And guess what? Bill wouldn't even have been enough to hit the deductible mark. I would have eaten the whole thing on my own. And here's the problem. When you have health insurance and you have a deductible marker on it, you can't negotiate with the insurance company. They don't come back and say, oh, well, you paid a $6,000 deductible, but we'll drop it down to a $1,000 marker. You've already agreed to them on paper with a signed premium letter that that's what you're willing to pay as a deductible. You can't even negotiate the cost on it like you can with a hospital. So, again, my take on it, my stance, I just want to put that out there and let everybody know. Be very cautious with this entire have to have health insurance all the time, because it makes you way more susceptible to go in and start, in my opinion, go on drugs, treatments, antibiotics, and in some cases, you really don't need
them. Oh, I've seen it. We had a guy who used to come to the office all the time. He's doing great.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to mention his name. He's dead now.
Great guy, though.
And a great guy, could fix anything.
Anything.
AC repair guy. I mean, he could fix anything.
Dishwasher, refrigerators, anything. It didn't matter what it was.
And I remember he was doing great on our supplements, then he got Obamacare.
Yep.
And they started giving him all these drugs.
It's free health care.
And all of a sudden, you watch his whole life just deteriorate, and then he dies of cancer. And I was at his funeral this year, and it was horrible. And I thought to myself, he didn't have to die.
No.
But he got all the drugs. And so you have to ask yourself a question. I mean, I remember State Farm was charging me almost $3,000 a month for health insurance, Austin.
Yep.
$36,000 a year, almost. And I looked at it. I never had a claim. Not once.
Nope.
And I'm like, this is crazy. I mean, you say your 10 years is $360,000. And I said, this is a waste of money. And I remember I called them up. They said, because I was on the same policy I've been on for all those years, that more and more people dropped off the program, and I was having to pay up all the different pieces of all. And I said, well, how about this? We'll just cancel it.
Cancel it, exactly.
And I canceled the health insurance. We didn't have health insurance for 15 years.
Yep.
I saved all that money. And then finally I decided when the kids got a little bit older that I would go ahead and go on one of those share things.
Yeah.
And it was like $300 a month, and that was okay. And then the first thing they did when we had a claim with Sharon when she got sick, it was like a $37,000 claim. And they said, we're not paying it. And I'm like, what the heck, man? No.
Well, like I told you, see, here's the hack that I found, especially like at least with Advent Health. I can't speak for all hospitals. But when you come in there and you say, I have no insurance, I'm cash pay, all of a sudden they go, we got to try to get something out of them. We don't want to not get paid.
Yeah.
So we'll negotiate with you with our 80% off the bill like that. When you come in and you say, I have health insurance, here's my health insurance number, whole thing changes.
Well, if you don't have,
they won't negotiate with you.
Well, no, if you don't have a deductible met, you have to pay the whole amount.
And the insurance company won't negotiate with you.
Well, I remember when you had your foot surgery.
Oh, yeah.
When you were like 14 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like $40,000. And I remember I had health insurance at State Farm at that point. And I remember I looked at them and I said, well, how much are you going to pay? And they said, we're not going to pay anything. We're only going to pay $4,000 for the surgery. And your deductible is $7,500.
Yeah.
I didn't pay it all anyhow.
Yeah, the deductible.
But they negotiated it down to like $4,500. Yeah. I said, what if I hadn't had insurance? Well, you had to pay the whole $40,000. And I'm like, so it's a giant. It's like I was talking to a man yesterday with some of my financial planners. And I said, there are some good financial planners out there. There's some really good ones. There's some really bad ones, too. I said, but here's the problem with financial planners. Every time you sell, every time you buy, they get paid.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't, no matter what happens, when they put you in something that gives them a big commission and you lose all your money, they got paid.
Yep.
And so you got to really watch financial planners because a lot of those guys don't care about what you do or what you make because they're more concerned about their own bottom line and what they earn. So be really careful. If you're going to get one, get a really good one. By the way, this is an interesting article, and it says, which one is worse? And it's this guy who's supposed to be this biohacker. God, he looks like a skinny dweeb. He's a pencil neck. And he basically says, you know, which – no, it's, or he doesn't look like a biohacker. He looks like a little – I'm not going to say it. And he's saying if you go to a party and you're given a choice between drinking a diet soda or drinking a glass of wine, which do you pick from a biohacking health standpoint? If you only have two choices.
Wine. I wouldn't drink that soda.
That's what he said. Drink the wine.
I would put the aspartame in my body.
That's what he says.
Don't touch it.
He said it causes too many problems with cancer and other problems associated with it. He said you'd be better off to drink the wine.
Yeah.
But here's the question I have. How about you just get a bottle of water?
Oh, I agree with you on that. But yeah. You got to understand what he's saying.
Yeah, he's saying F-4.
What I just came out with that article last week that said one soda a day increases your risk of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease by 50% from the high fructose corn syrup. What does one soda every single day increase by 50% over a long period? And so a lot of times people look at it and they go, well, alcohol's bad. Alcohol's this. Alcohol's bad. You don't need to put it in your diet. But then they try to go, well, Coca-Cola's not that bad. I'm going to drink Coke instead of drink alcohol. Same thing to your body.
But what I love about this is I've been talking about this for decades about aspartame.
Oh, and he's finally calling this out.
No. Somebody else is finally calling it out, and it said additionally a 2022 study from the University of California found that people who consumed significant amounts of artificial sweeteners had an 18% higher risk of stroke and a 9% higher risk of developing heart disease. Wow. It's thought that aspartame may actually cause a spike in insulin that leads to inflammation and plaque buildup in the arteries, though most research has been done on animals. And he says for wine, he said one drink a day can increase the risk of several types of cancer. So he's saying they're both unbelievably bad. But if you're going to choose one or the other, choose the wine. I would just choose not to drink anything if I was there. It's kind of like voting for the lesser of two evils. Remember I told you that? I did it in 2016 with Hillary versus Trump.
In one aspect,
I won't do it again.
Here's an aspect that a lot of people don't address either. Is you got the aspartame component to it. Horrific. You've got the factor that nobody wants to address, though, is the second one, is the phosphoric acid.
Ooh, dissolved teeth, boy.
This is
bones.
The part that nobody wants to address either with the high fructose corn syrup is the major one. Phosphoric acid brings the drink down to the acidity of almost battery acid. Short-term effects of phosphoric acid. This is right here online. Dental erosion, gastrointestinal erosion, kidney damage, bone health, cardiovascular disease, kidney stones. It's phosphoric acid. It's in every single Coca-Cola that exists, even the ones that have cane sugar in them. And no one wants to talk about it. It says, listen to this. Large amounts of excessive phosphoric acid disrupt the balance between calcium and phosphorus in the body, leading to weakened bones and osteoporosis. Oh, my gosh. Imagine that. Phosphoric acid is so acidic it can dissolve tooth enamel, leading to cavities and tooth decay. Oh, so you're telling me sodas lead to dental erosions and cavities? Who would have thought that?
You know, I could never get my mom to stop drinking sodas, ever. Yeah. And she drank them until finally she ends up having an osteoporotic fracture of the foot and falls. And then we go to the doctors at the hospital. They tell her, you don't have an osteoporotic fracture. You've got a lytic lesion that's basically transferred from your lungs or from your brain, and you're going to die of cancer. Now, remember, they said this to her with no testing at all.
No.
And I caught the guy in the hallway, and I chewed him out and said, you have no right to talk to my mom like that. She's in there crying. You don't know what's wrong. And I said, if this is an osteoporotic fracture, which I'm pretty sure it is, I said, you better not find me in the hallway again. We're going to have more than a chit-chat. And I remember he looked at me. He said, are you threatening me? I said, I'm not threatening nobody. I said, well, you don't have a right to talk to people like this. I said, you got an 85-year-old woman that's there crying, and you just told her she has cancer, and you have no idea what she has, and I know her lifestyle and the sodas that she drank, and she wouldn't stop drinking them.
Yeah.
And it was an osteoporotic fracture. Yep. I never saw his little scrawny butt again. The problem is that, you know, when you look at these guys who act like – I shouldn't have said that. That was pretty – That was really cold. But it was really cold. Very
was
real.
It was Friday. I needed that laugh.
And, oh, by the way, Red Alert, Netanyahu and AIPAC are attempting a hostile takeover of the Republican Party and President Trump's America First agenda.
Oh, imagine that.
Wow.
Imagine that.
A critical update is on how the coordinated attacks of the Tucker Carlson and Trump supporters are designed to terrorize the Republican establishment into submission, and so the keys of MAGA can be turned over to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his warmongers. You know, I don't even know what to say about this, because we've been saying this for a long time. And, I mean, when they bought Twitter, was it Twitter they bought? Or was it, no, it was TikTok they bought.
They bought TikTok.
You know, it was one of those deals. That
I got a lot to say right now, and I'm not going to say it. It's Friday.
But I will say this. Elon Musk has been given a $1 trillion Tesla payday, which will never happen, because it has to deal with the increase in sales and increase in stock prices. And that's going to be a snowball's chance in Hades that's going to happen, because
Tesla,
quite frankly,
sales are not up. They are not growing.
So they're giving this big incentive now to make it happen. And guess what? He can only do so much, because nobody wants the wretched cars.
The market isn't there. The consumer market isn't there. They've already shown us that over the last 2 years. The sales, so you still got some of these. See, what happens is a lot of these clowns, they're going through these leasing programs with the Tesla cars. That's the only reason why it's keeping sales up. So they're driving them. Then they're turning them back in, and they're taking another car, and they're doing another lease. Remember, leases, you don't own the vehicle. It's basically a rental is what you're doing. You're doing 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, or rental is what it is. You're paying for it. That's the only reason the sales of the Teslas are still maintaining. Everybody knows you buy one of these cars, you're going to absolutely lose your butt on it as far as on resale, because the depreciation happens so quick. Porsche, which is dang near bankrupted itself with the Taycan. I mean, I talked to a dealer yesterday.
They had a big bond issue.
I talked to a dealer yesterday, and they had them on the floor. So I stopped by there to talk to one of my buddies.
They had Taycans on the floor.
Oh, they had Taycans on the floor. Oh, we got like a $10,000 rebate. So you got a rebate on Porsche? Porsche doesn't do rebates. Well, it was the EV $7,500 kickbacks gone now, and now nobody wants these cars. I mean, they had a bunch of them in the lot. And I went over and I knew a buddy over there, and I talked to him. I was like, I was curious about this. I was in Orlando. I want to stop by and talk to you guys. He's like, yeah, he goes, Porsche has a problem with these. And he goes, inventory's everywhere now. Nobody knows what to do with them. Because here's the problem. When you raise a sticker on these cars, that someone, we're going for
$200,000.
$220,000. I mean, it's boggling that they even tried to push that market. Well, now they're sitting there, and everybody goes, well, I'll give you, I know the car's going to be worth $110,000, $120,000 in 6 months. I'll give you $100,000 for it. We can't discount the car $100,000, bro. Okay, have fun with it. They're sitting there. So the dealers don't know what to do with them. This is the first time Porsche's ever actually had to put rebates on vehicles.
Well, I know, like on the 911 Turbo S.
911s don't get rebates.
No, ever. But they're not even making them anymore, because Porsche is so cash strapped now because of these cars.
I asked him yesterday about the allocations on the 992 Turbo S, and I was curious. I said, how many people are getting these? He said, right now, we don't even have a number or a time when we're getting them. He said, there's probably going to be 3 or 4 that hit the dealership. That's it. Porsche cut massive back on all their high-end models because they're trying to stay afloat, because they literally almost bankrupted themselves. Tesla models aren't growing. They're not going anywhere.
Let's take hands, yeah.
It's just the market's not there. Everybody knows now if you buy them, you just are going to completely and totally lose all the money you make trying to drive one of these cars, so you can virtue signal how cool you are that you drive an EV vehicle that nobody cares about. That's what it is.
So you can virtue signal.
Yeah. Oh, look how good of a person I am. I got an EV. Bro, you're broke. Stop talking.
Well, no.
You're upside down $100,000
in the
car.
The thing that is, but you're funny, is that you're going to virtue signal driving a Porsche to start with. Why don't you buy a Volkswagen?
That's the funny part about it. It's like, okay. Cool story, bro.
Look at me. It's like my friend over in Germany said, you know, the really rich people, they don't put labels on their cars. They don't say it's a 911 Turbo S. They just leave the badging off. And I'm like, but they're still driving the car. They're such hypocrites. Because they're doing it now, so they can say, oh, look at me, how rich I am. I don't have to tell you what kind of car it is. But you already know. It's a Lamborghini Aventador.
I took the badging off my SVJ, so you don't know what it is.
Yeah, so now you know it's a Lamborghini, but I can tell you what model it is. Everybody knows it's an SVJ.
Stop talking.
Well, no.
Be quiet.
The same lady said to me, she goes, well, I went to a party, and the guy had all of his stuff out from from the Middle Ages, and he had all of these documents that he was royalty, and he was, you know, he was this and that. He always, that he was, that his family was
for the party.
He had it all out on the big table, but he wouldn't talk about it because it was just something he wanted people to see, but he didn't want people to know who he was. But I said, he just put his crap
out on the table. Right?
I said, give me a break. You want to know what happens? You get those people. They're like a trust fund baby.
Oh, yeah.
They've never done anything themselves.
Built nothing.
But because they got a bunch of money from their father or their grandfather or their great great granddaddy, Count Dracula.
That's their big claim to fame.
Count Dracula, which is Charles' granddaddy. Oh, by the way, you didn't know that, did you? The royal family is linked directly to Vlad the Impaler, Count Dracula from Transylvania, Romania. Just thought I'd mention that to you. So he even brags about it. So anyhow, this is what it is. What's your next story, Ozzy?
You're so funny with this Count Dracula.
Did you know that he is?
Yeah, I know. You told me that before. Every time you bring it up, though, it just cracks me up because I hear it. Like,
yeah, he really was. But his name was Vlad the Impaler, and he was the great, 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 great granddaddy of Prince Charles of England. King Charles now.
Well, this is an interesting article. Is as you get older, it says
probably explains why they get so many rumors of these guys drinking blood and doing weird stuff.
Well, obviously that story came from somewhere. The whole thing with vampires and all that.
Now you got those guys that are basically taking the infusion of these young children.
Yeah.
All the blood from
weird
them.
Stuff. But anyways, 5 ways to prevent and reverse age-related muscle loss.
Here we
talking
go.
About maintaining bone density, staying off the sodas. This says a form of muscle loss, sarcopenia, is a common condition affecting 12% of adults. Despite the lack of basically international consensus on diagnosing, it's characterized by loss of skeletal muscle tissue. It says here's the top things you can do to fight this condition naturally. Interesting enough, at the top of the list, listen to this, omega-3 fatty acids, known for protein embolism in animals and benefits sarcopenia. They said omega-3 fats are deemed as useful therapeutic agents for the disease due to their anti-inflammatory properties, targeting anti-aging and inflammatory. The second one on here, whey protein. I tell you guys this all the time. Protein supplement is necessary to maintain skeletal muscle tissue. A lot of times people try to eat meals a day and they don't get enough protein. And that's one of the biggest things I tell everybody is, you know, the Fit Food Whey protein isn't designed to be a stand-all, be-all, one-all. That's all you drink all day or all you eat all day for protein. Real whole organic food's always the best option for growth and maintaining skeletal muscle tissue. Always has, always will. Organic whole eggs, organic fish, organic chicken. However, a lot of times it's difficult to get adequate amount of protein, and especially for grown men that are trying to maintain muscle mass, because you need at least a gram per pound of body weight. So if you're 200 pounds, you need to be eating at least 200 grams of protein a day if you're trying to maintain muscle density.
That's an absolute fact.
It's a fact, especially for guys. It says the researchers found that whey protein attenuated induced muscle atrophy by enhancing the net protein content that regulates synthesis and degradation of muscle protein. Highlighting the combined benefit of therapy and nutritional intervention, they found that combined with omega-3 fats, whey protein increased muscle strength in adults suffering from limited mobility. So again, another really important exercise. You've got to tie an exercise with it. If you're exercising, you're eating adequate protein, you're getting proper amounts of basically the omega-3 fats and the protein, you're going to have significant impact as far as on the body maintaining muscle tissue on here. And another one here says D3. Studies on D3 supplementation. Systematic review of 29 studies offer compelling evidence of increased muscle strength. Vitamin D deficiency is a common health problem globally. And listen to this right here. Put this on camera four. In 2012, greater visceral fat and lower muscle mass was associated with lower vitamin D levels among elderly Korean men. Results suggest that screening for deficiency may be appropriate in elderly with visceral obesity or sarcopenia. It's another thing, again, to make sure you're maintaining and adding to your diet. I want to put that out there as a good health study today.
I want to read this to you. This is for the protein content.
This is the Fit Food, isn't it?
Yep, 100% New Zealand whey. It says in here that we're basically proprietary whey protein blend, and we put in here, we have no MSG. It says that right on the thing. It says natural flavors, which we make sure we put in there, no MSG. Because a lot of times they'll say natural flavors, but it contains MSG. And it goes, we have medium chain triglycerides, which is great for you,
MCT oil. That's coconut oil.
Cellulose gum, xanthan gum, guar gum. That keeps the consistency good when you mix it. And also sea salt and monk fruit.
That's it.
Now you think about that. There's no aspartame, there's no sucralose, there's no stabilizers, none of that stuff.
Especially the artificial flavors. That's the main thing.
And the next story is your favorite gum toxic. Experts expose cancer-linked ingredients in popular products.
In gum?
In gum. Oh, yeah. And all these doggone sugar alcohols. xylitol, sorbitol, all this other stuff. And the problem with the gum is almost all of it contains aspartame. The
majority of them are out and sucralose now. Yeah. They've switched aspartame with sucralose on a lot of the products I read all the time. So I check stuff. I'm kind of weird. When I'm at a supermarket, sometimes if I see something that looks interesting or looks appealing, I'll look at the label on it just out of curiosity. 99.9% of the time, I will never buy it. But I'm curious to see what the ingredient list is. Just because I'm kind of curious. I like to see how things work. You know, how's a watch work? I must take it apart and figure it out. Can't get it back together, but I figured out how it works. So, again, that's one of those things where it's like you want to look at this stuff and be a label reader. So, and especially with gum, you got to be really careful with gum because a lot of those gums all have basically the synthetic sweeteners in them.
That's right. And here's another one. Everyday chemical now linked to liver disease and cancer. And I mean, scientists identify a typical household and dry cleaning ingredient as a new risk factor for the severe, potentially fatal liver damage. And I believe it's also linked to Parkinson's disease. I've talked about this before. The compound tetrachloroethylene ethylene PCE, commonly used as dry cleaning and present in everyday products like Kraft adhesives, stain removers, and stainless steel polish, is a potential threat to liver health. Researchers measured PCE levels in the blood of more than 1,600 adults ages 20 and older, and they found approximately 7% of the population has detectable amounts of this chemical. And I believe, personally, it is linked to Parkinson's disease. That's why if you're going to get stuff dry cleaned, don't get it dry cleaned if you can help it. Just get it laundered. Don't let them put this in if it's a chemical. It's a primary solvent used in many dry cleaning machines, and the workers breathe the contaminant all day long, leading to chronic high exposure. And also, when you wear the suits or the clothes from the dry cleaning chemicals, it gets through your skin.
Especially the undershirts. Your white shirt. That's the worst.
When the customer brings their clothes home, they're exposing themselves to low levels of PCE. Research also determined that more than one person was exposed, such as over decades of working in dry cleaning, you're using the service, the more likely they will experience life-threatening liver damage. And also non-Hodgkin lymphoma, multiple myeloma, bladder cancer. The list goes on and on and on. And I'm putting in there Parkinson's disease. For some reason, they're not listing that, but I know that's part of it also. So be very, very careful. It says, notably, the link between PCE and liver scarring held strong even after accounting for other common causes like alcohol use and obesity-related fatty liver disease from high fructose corn syrup. For every single unit increase of PCE, the risk of liver scarring skyrocketed more than fivefold. You hear this? Every unit increase of PCE, the risk of liver scarring skyrocketed more than fivefold, indicating a direct escalation of risk with exposure. Liver disease is a silent, underdiagnosed common problem in the United States. It's also linked to heavy alcohol use, diabetes, obesity, high fructose corn syrup. The list goes on and on and on. It's warning you to stay away from dry cleaning solvents. And it's saying be very, very careful with it. And I will say again, I personally believe, and I can get some links and I'll pull it up in just a second, that it's also linked to Parkinson's disease. So be very, very, very careful if you're doing dry cleaning, which most people don't do nowadays because most people really don't get dressed up in suits anymore. The only thing you really ever had to, you know, had to basically really be careful with when you basically were trying to have things dry clean were the suits because you can't wash them in a washer. The thing is, if you start getting hot in a suit, why don't you just take the coat off? You know, I know that sometimes people say, well, that's just tacky. Great. I've been tacky many times when I got hot in a church or wherever I was with a jacket on, I'd take it off. What difference does it make? You have a shirt underneath the jacket. Just calm down on all that. Don't be like that anymore. Very, very important.
Don't be like that anymore.
Pardon me?
You said don't be like that anymore.
Here's another one. Here, I'm going to pull this article up from PubMed. Government article. Try oral ketamine, an invisible cause of Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, there you go.
Just pulled it up. I'm going to post it and let you guys. And it says the epidemiology. Parkinson's disease remains unclear. However, certain genetic mutations in the head trauma can cause a lot of it, including exposure to trichloroethylene. And so I told you we don't make this stuff up. I'm going to post it right now on the website.
We don't make nothing up.
No, we don't have to. It's like people say, well, this stuff you guys come up with. I'm like, we're not coming up with nothing. We're just reading the news and commenting on it and telling that we told you that it was the truth 25 years ago. About John Parvin, my best buddy from college, he always says to me, you know, you were saying this stuff, Ted, back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Same stuff you say now. And now everybody's agreeing with you. I'm like, well, I can't help. They got all, you know, there was a big lag spot for those guys and they didn't figure out how to read.
Oh, and also, too, in other words, I'm going to give you guys a heads up on this. I found this out. We had a limit on how many reviews you guys could put on the products. It was a base limit from when we started the website that they capped us off at 5 reviews per product. Oh. I had people calling me the other day, and they're like, I can't leave a review on the product. I'm trying to add a review. And I found out. So we got that lifted. It was basically a baseline on it. And you guys are leaving so many reviews.
Thank you.
It capped us out. So we upgraded the program that's on the back side of this with Shopify as far as the app that used the reviews on it. So thank you for all the reviews. I didn't expect to get capped out on Shopify, but that's a good problem to have, I guess. So again, it's lifted now. Now you guys can start adding more reviews. I'm curious to see which product's going to get the highest review. You know, actually, I'm going to do something. Whatever product gets the highest level reviews, probably the next week or so, whether it's the brain food, whether it's the multiple powders, all these ones that are capped out, D3, B-complex, I'm going to do a really big sale on it for you guys.
Whoa.
So whatever you guys pick, so whatever gets like past 10, 12 reviews on here, I'm going to be watching it throughout the week. And do you guys really like it? You really want it? I'm talking, I'll do a big sale on it for you guys for a couple days. Depends. I can't lose a ton of money, but I'll do a big sale on it. You guys leave me some reviews on the top product that you want to see have the biggest sale. This is for our listeners only. I'm not going to do an email or promotion or anything else to anybody else. This is our real live listeners, our listeners right now. You give me up to 10, 12 reviews on a product. The first one that hits 10 to 12, we'll see where the numbers head on it. I'll put that thing on sale for you guys, and we'll do a big promo, because that'll tell me that's the product that you guys want to have. The same way I do the product of the week. You guys like that a lot. Everybody votes on it every week. The front page here, give me camera 4. So you go up here at Health Masters, if you guys haven't seen this yet. On the front, we have Fit Food, which is on product of the week. You click vote, and you can see which product is voting up for product of the week here. So we got a few. What we got? Collagen peptides. Surprise, surprise. That's winning right now by a landslide. Nobody wanted the estrogen control of magnesium yet. Surprising. Estrogen control, by the way, is great for men and women as far as maintaining moderate estrogen. Because even if you're guys, remember, estrogen is antagonistic to testosterone. Meaning if your testosterone is getting high up there and you get some conversion to estrogen, your estrogen comes up, it'll pull your testosterone down. If you really want to spike your testosterone up and you're running like the Testo Plus, the Tribulus, or the Tongat, make sure you're throwing the DIM estrogen control in. I take 4 of those every single day of the week. I don't miss those. And it keeps estrogen really bottomed out to a healthy level. It won't crash it, but it keeps it bottomed out to a healthy level and allows your testosterone to maintain high levels, because estrogen and testosterone are antagonistic. Estrogen comes up, it will bring your test down. Since nobody wanted to vote on my DIM estrogen control product here.
Just give you a heads up on that. Texas is now suing Tylenol maker over claims it failed to warn pregnant women of autism risk.
Yeah.
See, they got to do some kind of blame shift here.
They need the boogeyman. Grant, Tylenol's bad. It's horrible. Don't use it. We've talked about it before. That's like a worst-case scenario product if you need a painkiller and you don't want to use an opiate. But don't. That stuff. They have to have a reason, though, for the autism rate. The autism rates have gotten so high. He's put on camera 4 here. I showed you guys this. I keep showing you guys this on purpose because this is getting so bad. This is that big study that came out with the McCullough Foundation going into detail saying vaccinations is the dominant risk factor for autism spectrum disorder. Wow. And they don't want anybody to talk about this. This article has gotten scrubbed on pretty much every platform. They're trying to pull it down. Mm-hmm. And why in the world were we at 1 in 1,000 in the late 90s for autism rates? Now we're over 1 in 31, and it's
1 in 12 in boys.
1 in 12 in boys. It's Tylenol now.
Well, now
Tylenol's been around for a while.
Trump says this: don't take Tylenol. Don't take it.
He's not wrong about that. Okay.
The president said at the time before adding, "Fight like hell not to take it," and urging pregnant women to tough it out. Some studies do an association between taking acetaminophen during pregnancy and autism in children. And I'm not saying that it doesn't cause autism.
I do think there's a link between it.
I do too. But the point is that Tylenol is so bad that nobody should take it anyhow.
No, they shouldn't.
And it's just a bad, bad, bad product. And so it's just part of what we have to get you realize. And you know, people have to understand there's a lot of things that don't make any sense. Okay. Here's another interesting article. Doctors thought I was on drugs, but then they were left horrified when they looked inside my ear.
Oh, gosh. Where's this going?
An Indiana man was left screaming from what doctors thought was a drug-fueled breakdown until they discovered a bug was in his ear.
Oh, gosh.
Father of one, Brendan Doyle, had fallen asleep on the couch last week when he woke up with hurt sharp scratches in his ear. He immediately screamed, "There's something in my ear." They raced to his side. A couple rushed to the hospital. He had screaming fits, left nurses and doctors convinced he was taking drugs, and he's having a psychotic episodes, and they noticed a 2-inch black beetle nestled inside.
2-inch black beetle? God, that's
the hour-long agony of the bug pinching his inner ear made him lose it. It is awful, Doyle said. Every sound it makes amplified because of how close it was to my inner ear. They got a picture of it. It's a nasty looking thing. The couple bought the sofa. They bought the sofa Doyle had been sleeping on a week earlier and suspected the beetle had crawled inside of it when it was in the warehouse. Guys, be really, really careful with your ears, and don't be letting. You know, here's the other thing.
I don't think you probably let the bug go in there sleeping.
Let me step it back. Change your sheets on a regular basis.
Yeah, that is true.
Change your pillowcase.
Use good hygiene, guys.
Change your pillowcase a couple of times a week. Really important because of dead skin cells and all these little creepy crawlies like to crawl on your pillows at night. Just get the silver line pillowcases. They're pretty good at that. But wash your pillowcases at least twice a week. If you want to change it out every day, it's not a bad idea either. Just get some extra pillowcases when you go to the the store to buy some and just swap it every day. Really important that the pillow that you use at night, that you keep your head against for 8 to 10 hours a night, is clean and it doesn't have a bunch of weird stuff crawling around on it. Just thought I'd make that note kind of clear to everybody today. I try to swap my pillowcase out. If I don't change the sheets every week, I change those pillowcases all the time. You've got to do that. Absolutely critical. What's your next story, Austin?
This is an interesting story that came out now. This is a big exclusive. Whistleblower biologist says Pfizer covered up her exposure to engineered virus and threatened the family. This is molecular biologist Becky McCain discussing her new book that was just released, Exposed, a Pfizer scientist battles corruption, lies, betrayal, becomes a biohazard whistleblower. And this goes back and ties into what happened with gain of function, what happened with COVID, and essentially what Pfizer did and trying to cover everything up they knew with the side effects that were showing up in the very, very short clinical trials that they bogused up to get the shot approved for emergency use authorization. Said she started raising safety concerns way back with Pfizer's biosafety level lab 2. 3 years later, after management failed to address, McClain was exposed to a genetically modified lentivirus engineered using gain-of-function technology that made the virus more infectious and pathogenic. You know, Pfizer is just the gift that just keeps on giving with the pharmaceutical world. I mean, these guys are like the epitome of corruption. And that's what boggled me the other day. When when Trump met with Albert Bourla and they're basically shaking hands and they deal with it. You guys notice there's still been no release, zero release on that gigantic deal that they made for $70 billion in closed doors between the U.S. government and Pfizer. Nobody's talked about it. Nobody's brought it up. Nobody even knows what the deal is. It got coverage for like a day, maybe a day and a half, and suddenly it's gone. Why is Pfizer bringing pharmaceutical drugs? Why are we bringing Trump RX to the U.S. so people can put pharmaceutical drugs shipped right to their door every single day through online pharmacy, through discounted rates, through Pfizer, who gets the contract, suddenly gets the no-bid contract to take all this stuff over? Pfizer and the United States government and Big Pharma are one giant satanic empire working together, in my opinion. Now, you can quote me on that. This whole pharmakia thing that they've done now, trying to get everybody on pharmaceutical drugs, is so open now. They're not even trying to hide it anymore.
Well, it's like insider trading with congressional leaders. Now they're passing the Nancy Pelosi Act in order to stop.
Right before she retires.
Yeah, well, because she's made so many hundreds of millions of dollars in insider trading. But of course, she discloses it properly so she doesn't get fined for it. You talk about the corruptest person on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
We call her a mummy. She walks around like she's some kind of zombie. Hideous woman.
She's a raging alcoholic. Remember that stuff came out on those private jet flights from California to Washington, D.C.? She had, I think, $55,000 in open liquor tabs on the flights. Mm-hmm. 55. They make some expensive stuff. $55,000 in 1 year on liquor on flights?
But you got to remember, though, she's the one who also has this virtue signaling about the climate warming.
Oh, yeah. And, she jets from Cali to D.C. every single week.
You put a single person on a 10-passenger Gulfstream or 15-passenger Gulfstream.
Gulfstream 600.
You're munching a bunch of aircraft fuel.
Oh, from Cali to D.C.?
Oh, yeah, four or five-hour flight.
That's probably a $50,000, $60,000 flight one way.
Let me think. That would be, a big one would be about $100,000.
Yeah, one way. She's got to go back.
It's going to run about $20,000 an hour for a G600 on that flight. So 5 hours, so you're going to be about $100,000 one way. Plus liquor.
Plus
Well, you got to get the liquor
plus
in there.
Plus liquor. Don't forget the liquor.
Well, if you got a bottle of wine at $6,000, let's throw about three or four of those in there.
Well, you got to think about it. If she averaged $55,000 a year on a liquor budget on the planes, that's $1,000 a week on liquor.
Well, that's when she gets it. They get to bring a stretcher for her. put her on a stretcher.
Well, now,
Scott,
is she teaching how to walk her
Well, yeah, of course she does, because she can't stand up. She's so drunk.
Liver shot, too. Concrete in there.
Unbelievable.
You know?
Yeah, I know. I had a friend of mine one time. He was over in Germany or France someplace. And he was bragging about he bought $100 or $500 bottle of wine. And I looked at him. I said, dude, what's wrong with you?
It probably still tastes like a $20 bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And don't send me letters and say, oh, no, there's good. I get it. There's some wines that are investment pieces that people have bought.
Whatever.
I get it. That's your market. But if you're going to invest in it, you can't drink it. You drink your investment. There's no ROI anymore. Got to keep it corked up. So appreciate you guys. Stay strong and healthy. Have a great weekend. Be sure to check out the Fit Food Protein if you want it, along with the Purple Sticks. That's one of the best stacks we have in the morning. That's what I already had today on my shake over here. I got that pretty much every morning. You got your frother. Somebody sent you for your birthday now.
Thank you for the frother. You guys are great.
Good weekend, my friend.
Yeah, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'll see you in church on Sunday. I love you guys, and I really, really appreciate you a lot. If it weren't for you guys, we wouldn't be here. And thanks for, again, putting up with us and sending us letters that are nice. Thank you for the nice letters. The other ones I just delete and block, so don't do that, please.
And load up on the reviews now. See what you can get me over 10 reviews on which product hits that first. I can put it on sale for you guys since I've got my restriction lifted now.
Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. And we're going to try to figure out what's wrong with these cameras, but we have no lights anywhere. Love you guys.
Have a good weekend.
They're all on. I text time. I text time.